Please listen with me for a reading from the Acts of the Apostles, chapter 17, verses 22 through 28. Then Paul stood in front of the Areopagus and said, "Athenians, I have seen how extremely religious you are in every way. For as I went through the city and looked carefully at the objects of your worship, I found among them an altar with the inscription, 'To an unknown God.' What therefore you worship as unknown, this I proclaim to you: the God who made the world and everything in it, he who is Lord of heaven and earth, does not live in shrines made by human hands, nor is he served by human hands as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all mortals life and breath and all things. From one ancestor he made all nations to inhabit the whole earth, and he allotted the times of their existence and the boundaries of the places where they would live, so that they would search for God and perhaps grope for him and find him. Though indeed he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as even some of your own people have said. For we too are his offspring." Hear what the Spirit is saying to the church.
Thanks be to God. This morning we greet Paul in the city of Athens, the great city, the classical city, this city of learning and possibilities, this city of history. Paul has been on a journey. He's been kicked out of a few places just before this, and now we find him in the midst of a conversation in Athens. And for those ancient readers, those around that first century Mediterranean world, when they heard the author of Acts share this story of Paul coming before a community, it would have reminded them of another story. It would have been in a similar motif to another story, to the story of Socrates being brought before a community to explain his ideas and express his thoughts in the midst of Athens. The author of Acts, Luke, wants you to know that something is important here, something is at stake here, and that this community in Athens is a unique community for Paul to encounter. See, this ancient community in Athens, they don't need an organization like Project Interfaith or a Tri-Faith Initiative. This is a community of deep religious literacy. This is a community where people study and root themselves deep in their traditions, and a community where they imagine and explore and learn about all of the diversity of traditions around them. Paul begins his conversation noting how curious they are about religion, how he's seen the shrines and the temples, how he's seen the gods and the goddesses made of wood and stone and metal from every corner of creation, how this is exciting, and how the poets and the philosophers around Athens are all about exploring and imagining. And it's in this space that Paul is invited to share the faith that sets him on fire. It is in this community that Paul is urged to share his understanding of God. Now, Paul does something curious here. Paul doesn't maybe use the language that a good Jewish boy would have. Paul has been not only rooted in his faith, but he is listening. He has been listening. He's been knowing. He's been understanding the community that is around him. And so when he is invited to be in conversation, he doesn't force them to hear words about God on his terms. He knows enough and has listened enough that he can use language they feel comfortable with, language that they might know from poets and philosophers, language that they might have explored in their own tradition or other traditions. And so Paul invites them to hear about this sense of God that urges him forward in new ways. And he does something really unexpected, perhaps. I imagine it was probably unexpected to this community gathered in Athens. See, they're so deep in this kind of exploring their spirituality and exploring the diversity of religions that there's even a space claimed for mystery, in a sense. There's even a space claimed for an unnamed God. Just in case. And so Paul does something significant. Paul names, in a sense, how they might explore that God. And Paul gets going and he invites them to think about their own breath that comes into their being, that God has rooted within all of us, something that can't be formed by hands, something that's not limited to shrines or temples or particular parcels of land or particular nations, but a God that is universal and connected, a God that weaves through everything and everyone, a God that is the ground of his very being. A God in whom he lives and moves and has his own being. A God that is vulnerable enough to be imagined in a crucified peasant. And a God that is durable enough to be resurrected in the way that people continue on in that understanding of faith. Paul urges the people to hear about this new experience he has had. And he invites them to imagine together. When I think about this community that Paul is addressing, and I think about our community, the community that we are surrounded by, I think there are certain similarities, of course. That we're human and that thinking we're disconnected is unhelpful. But we do live in this world of diversity. We do live in a world surrounded by differences and folks who understand faith differently. We dwell in the midst of a congregation where probably down the pew from you is 10 different ideas about how we might explore in language that might be meaningful about God. We certainly dwell within that diversity. But there's something that I wonder that maybe doesn't really go exactly with Paul here. That maybe either it was unnamed in the first century or maybe it's just something very new. Paul wasn't surrounded by this group of folks who identify as spiritual but not religious. Paul isn't surrounded by an increasing number of what scholars are calling nuns. Not folks in habits, nuns. People who on the list of religious identity choose none of the above. Those are the nuns we're talking about here. And so this situation that we find ourselves in, this culture of folks who maybe have been uncomfortable or maybe have been wounded or maybe have seen and experienced religion in such a profoundly wounding way that none feels a whole lot safer and a whole lot more tolerant to the world around them is something that I wonder might be a little different from Paul's community. Now, I think most of us can understand why folks around us would identify as none. I know that all of our world religions weave these threads of compassion and grace and care through the stories and the narratives, through the rituals and the hopes. And yet when you peel back the curtain, when you look closely at the cloth that is woven in practice, well, it's startling. When you pull back the curtain on religion, you see Holocaust and genocide. When you pull back the curtain, you see people marching with signs of hate, and you see folks as suicide bombers in God's name. It's certainly startling. And I think it might invite all of us to consider the option of none as a pretty good one. I have received a fair number of phone calls and a fair number of emails from folks beyond the doors of our congregation, and sometimes from folks within our community. Parents who are so worried and so offended by the religious literacy that they grew up with, that choosing none feels a whole lot safer for how they might want to raise someone they care about, or how they might want to connect with someone else that they care about. Choosing none means they know they are not intolerant towards others. It means they know they don't have to put up a boundary or a barrier between them and others. It means they don't have to have this faith that they grew up with that says, if I'm to be right, it means other people must be wrong. Now, Mike and I have been taking some parenting classes in the last few weeks. And we took one this week that wasn't just at Children's Hospital. We took one this week with Project Interfaith about how do you raise strong children rooted deeply in faith and yet understanding of the world around them? How might we do that? And as kind of a participant observer, it was so fascinating to listen to the questions that came to the speaker afterwards. There was a lot of concern and anxiety and tension and worry about if we chose the right faith or if we know enough about Christianity to even share anything with our own children. Or one mother who was so concerned that if she allowed her daughter to go to an Easter service with a friend, she might, I would say, catch something. And the speaker, in a moment of deep grace and deep understanding and true solidarity with all of the parents that were gathered, said, one, American parents worry far too much about everything. And two, perhaps that anxiety isn't necessarily just about your children. Perhaps that anxiety is about something of your own. And that maybe if we as parents or grandparents or people who care about young people or people who just care about other people would not worry as much about what kind of Christian this person might be or our child might become, and worry instead about how we might be a more deeply rooted Christian or a more deeply rooted Muslim or a more deeply rooted person in the tradition of Judaism, that we might be better able to meet the needs of our children and the people we care about. See, he urged them that if you dive into your faith, if you get beyond those beginning spaces, if you dive in and think through the hard questions and are honest enough to say we don't know all the answers and are able to listen and embrace the questions of people around, we might be better able to explore our faith in a meaningful way. that religious literacy helps us understand and be in conversation, that it doesn't have to put up walls and boundaries, but can open our eyes. That knowing who we are can allow us to be in relationship with other people. That knowing and being deeply rooted in our tradition can offer us a sense of comfort and grace that doesn't have to be in conflict, but can be in embrace and hospitality. See, I think that's the part of the story here that isn't written down. See, we see Paul in Athens telling the story of his faith. We see Paul in Athens listening to people and being a part of the conversation, but we didn't see Paul for decade upon decade in the synagogue. We didn't see Paul for year upon year in deep study of the Torah. We didn't see Paul memorizing the words of the prophets and the Psalms. We weren't there for all of that story, but all of that story is part of the story we heard today. This is why we gather. We gather so we can root ourselves in a tradition of care and compassion, so we can discern through those fibers that are tolerant and intolerant and make choices of care for the world around us. For the courage to be people of peace, for the courage to open our ears to the community around us, and for the courage to be people who don't have all the answers, but are willing to make space for all the questions. May we live into this mystery of faith together. Amen.